Hello, and welcome to the Minimalist Moms Podcast. I'm Diane. I'm a mother of three living in Columbus, Ohio. I'm trying to make room in my life for what matters by getting rid of the clutter and living life with purpose. I hope you'll join me on the journey to think more and do with less. Join me today as I bring you the next episode in the series Decluttering Room by Room. I've asked six women to join me in tackling various areas in our home. We'll chat about how to keep each space minimal and most efficient for our families. In this episode, Elisa Henry, minimalist mom and TV host, will take us through bedroom decluttering. We'll talk mostly about adult bedrooms, but we do sprinkle in a little bit about kids' bedrooms too. But before we get to that conversation, I wanted to encourage you to leave a rating and review if you haven't done so yet. We're getting so close to that 500 mark, and that would just be a Merry Christmas to me. So if you haven't left a rating and review yet, head over to iTunes and do that. The other way that is very beneficial for this podcast is to support me and the Minimalist Moms podcast by checking out some of the advertisers that I bring you here on the show. All right, I think that's all I needed to tell you guys. I hope that you enjoy this conversation with Elisa. Elisa, thanks so much for joining me tonight on the Minimalist Moms podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. I love your podcast, so it's exciting to be a guest today.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting to know you a little bit better. We were just talking about how we're both from Columbus and just kind of, I've recently discovered that. So I'm excited that, I mean, I feel like we should have gotten together to do this. Had I had known, I'm starting to get to know you. And I know that listeners, I'm sure some listeners know you, but for those that don't, I'd love for you to introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Elisa Henry, and I go by Elisa Henry TV on Instagram. I actually host a lottery game show, so that's the TV aspect, and I used to be a news reporter. And I am a wife and a mom to a very active three-year-old boy. He was born early, so he's a premature baby, but he's doing great. And I live in Columbus, and I love Instagram. I love your podcast. I'm excited to talk about minimalism and decluttering and things like that.
Yeah, and then when did you start to pursue minimalism? Was it before you became a mother or was it afterwards? I'd like to know maybe a little bit more about your journey. You can summarize before we get into decluttering.
So I've always been interested in the minimalist lifestyle. I think I first discovered it probably like 10 years ago, looking at the minimalist, like those two guys.
Yeah.
And it was seemed way out of reach for me because at that time shopping was basically like a part-time job for me, an unpaid one, where I just love shopping and buying stuff. But then I got interested in minimalism and decluttering in my own life about a year after I had my son. So he was born 10 weeks early. And so it was a lot of drama with the hospital and everything. And then we had a nanny. And at the time I worked full-time and I was doing freelance work and I had just started a new job. So I was working like three jobs and I had a baby at home and we had so much stuff. We had tried for a baby for about 2 years. And so, when I finally had my son, I was so excited. I bought everything that Babies R Us had to offer. Mm-hmm. So we had so much stuff and plus all the stuff I already had before I had the kid. And I found myself having to do so much cleaning before the nanny would come because I was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And also I hired a cleaning lady and I had to do so much cleaning before she came. I even had to tell her like, avoid this room. Don't open that door. And you have a cleaning lady come when it's that bad. Mm-hmm. So, and I hired two girls from a local college to come help me. And I was so embarrassed when I think about what they witnessed when they came to my house in terms of how just stuff to the brim it was of stuff. So that's when I decided, you know what, I need to make a real change. And so I read a book. It's called Managing Your Home Without Losing Your Mind.
Oh,
it's by Dana White. Her blog was called A Slob Comes Clean. Have you heard of her?
Yeah, yeah. I love that book.
Called Decluttering at the Speed of Life.
Yeah.
I just popped my headphones in one day, listened to that book. I swear it changed my life. Like that, just listening to someone who wasn't like the minimalist in terms of, you know, doesn't have anything. This was someone who had gotten past where I was, having all this stuff. It's like you don't have enough time. And she kind of just walked me through in her book how to declutter and minimize and just basically change your mindset. Because really, minimalism isn't just about cleaning out your house. It's also about changing your mindset. That's a big aspect. And that was the main thing that I needed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So where would you say that bedroom decluttering, it's what you're here to talk about tonight, where would you say that that kind of fell within your minimalist pursuits? I want to hear more about that.
The bedroom was the easiest room to start with, which is why I'm glad that we're talking about bedrooms, because I think that it was the easiest room for me because I just thought, you know, let's grab a garbage bag, start in one corner, just move across the room and, you know, clearing everything that just doesn't go in there, like dishes and medicine and the vacuum cleaner. And I think that that was why I decided to start with the bedroom, because it was easy for me to know what goes in here, a bed, like nightstands. We have a TV in our room. And that helped me. And I felt like once I accomplished the bedroom, I thought, okay, now I can tackle some of the bigger spaces. Same with my son's room, his nursery. We have so much stuff in there. So it was nice to be able to feel like I had a goal with the bedroom. I feel like that's a good room to start with for people who are just beginning.
Okay, cool. Well, let you just take it away. And what would you say is one of the initial steps to declutter a bedroom?
I would say, like I said, grab a garbage bag, start in one corner, move across the room, get all the trash, anything that doesn't belong in there, clearing out everything that doesn't go in there. And sometimes it's hard to get out of the dorm room mindset. When if you went to college and you had a dorm, then you know that like your dorm was also your kitchen and it was your family room and it was everything. It was your office, like everything. And I think it's easy to take that mindset into your apartment and then maybe into your married house or wherever you live. I mean, there was a point where I had so many clothes on my bed, I had to like move the clothes to the side of the bed and then lay in the bed next to a pile of clothes. Like that is when you know it's gone too far. when I got married, obviously I couldn't have clothes next to me, so they just end up in a pile on the floor. And it just, I think that when I decided, okay, first let's put everything that does not go in here. Like you have an entire apartment or house or wherever, medicine goes somewhere else. Dishes go in the kitchen, clothes go in the closet or the hamper, the vacuum cleaner goes, you know, in the hallway or in the closet, wherever you can fit it. And so that was something I started with, which is putting things where they go, what actually belongs in this room. You know, in my mind, I want to be that person who reads for 2 hours before bed and you have this big stack of books on the nightstand. But let's be realistic. Like realistically, I'm on my phone before bed. So I don't need all these books next to my bed. And doing hampers and hooks, everything off the floor, that's a big aspect. I mean, I think once you clear off the floor, that's a big space that's cleared off. We have a dresser in our bedroom, so clearing that space off and not having a bunch of like toiletries on the dresser that doesn't belong in the bedroom. So I think that's the big thing, is just putting things where they go. And using the space that you have, and also being realistic about your space. I think sometimes I can get on Instagram and see someone else's bedroom, like, oh my gosh, like I would love to, you know, have a bedroom that didn't require a dresser. Well, that's not my bedroom. My bedroom requires a dresser. So that's, you know, I think being realistic about the space that I have, and also being realistic about what I need, the things that I have and what I need to fit those things, and making a space and making a place for everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when it comes to the bedroom, a lot of us, I mean, I feel like everyone's bedroom is so different for kind of what they want the vibe, I'll say, to be. I know that I'm like saving up right now for a really cozy chair that I can put up in our room and I can read at. I know that some people do have like that little sitting, like lounge space in their room. Some people have really tiny rooms and they don't want that. They literally just want to sleep and be intimate in there if you're married. some people want that TV in there. Some people don't have dressers, and there's just so many reasons that the bedroom is going to look different for decluttering with each person. But I think you're right. Just taking that garbage bag in there and start working through things that are like completely unnecessary. And then maybe even if you take a laundry basket or some type of bin there, so that kind of like as a catch-all, like, hey, where do these things actually need to go? Because the medicine doesn't actually belong in here. It belongs in such and such place. So being aware of where the home is for some of the things that shouldn't be in there, and then setting aside some time prior to all of this to kind of design what you want this space to be. So
the laundry basket thing is a really big one, because I like to say, don't abandon one task for another midway. And it's easy to do that when you're like, oh, I'm going to put the medicine in the kitchen and then go in the kitchen and you're like, oh, I need to clean up the dishes. And then like your bedroom's still a mess. So I like the laundry basket idea because I just put everything that doesn't go in this room mm-hmm. in this basket. And then I'm still working on the room. And then when I'm done, I can walk around with the basket, putting things where they go. I did the same thing in my son's bedroom. Mm-hmm. Just getting toys is a big one, but getting things that don't belong in there and putting that in the basket, finishing his room, and then taking the basket around the house. Mm-hmm. And that way I don't abandon one task for another task midway, because that's very easy to do.
Yeah. And that's a good point that you mentioned toys and kids' room, not to like segue into kids' rooms, because I do want to just, I want to mostly have this episode be about adults' rooms, because I feel like we've never talked about that really on the podcast before. But the same with your kids' room, is it their playroom / bedroom? Is it just a bedroom? Like, is this also a learning space? It's going to look so different for everyone. So I think coming up with that initial idea of the design behind the space will help you keep it organized to that tune, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. I completely agree.
Yeah. So do you have any other like the initial steps for decluttering? Or I guess I'm also just kind of curious to how you organize. Are you someone that buys all the bins for your bedroom? Do you have dishes for this and that? I want to hear more about maybe how you organize it.
So one of the things that I always have to fight against is accumulation. Okay. I'm all about, like, for a while I was all about bringing things in. And I think stopping the flow is the number one thing that has helped me in my decluttering journey. And I tell that to everyone. I'm like, if you are wanting to declutter, stop the flow, which means stop going to Target and just buying all the things, like, or wherever is your vice. Maybe it's not Target. Maybe it's, you know, whatever local place, but stopping the flow, stopping accumulation. And one of those things is the bins, because it's easy to go to the store, see all these pretty bins. I want to buy all the bins. You're just bringing in more junk. Yeah. And so I think I try to get rid of things first and then say, okay, do I need, you know, a bin? Would that make this, would a container make this space better and more functional? But I think for me, I'm more of a clear the counters kind of person. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't want to have like a stack here, a stack there. I want to have everything like where you can't see it, which sometimes that can be tough because then it's out of sight. And so you might forget that you have it, but then it's like, well, you forgot you have it. Maybe you don't need it. So, but yeah, I'm more about like, I do have a little jewelry dish on my nightstand that I can put my rings in, or if I put my earrings in at night. But I'm more of like a clear off the clutter. I have like one book on the nightstand, that one book that I'm reading, not like a stack of books that I wish I was reading. And I always think if you're going to buy something, buy things that are multifunctional. Like our nightstands have, they're opaque for number one, not transparent. And they have doors on them and shelves inside. So then you can put stuff inside instead of just having like a table where you can't put anything inside. So I think multifunctional things like that work best if you are buying something, but I don't think you should go out and buy a new nightstand because you think it'll like change your life in terms of decluttering, because that's just bringing more stuff in. And also I like the concept, I've heard this on your podcast a lot, which is shopping your house and looking and finding things that already exist in your house that can maybe be moved into the bedroom to make the bedroom more efficient for sure.
Yeah. And just because I like that you say you pause and you're trying to cut off the flow of things coming in, because I think sometimes we'll find a basket and maybe it comes in a set of three and you have things to fill up like one basket, but you're like, oh, I don't have anything to fill up the other two. May as well just go out and fill these things with either things that I might need but don't really need, or just things that are definitely frivolous and you don't need. So yeah, I think that that's a really hard shift to make when we're so used to doing it the opposite way, though.
Wanting to fill up all the spaces all the time. And it's like, it's okay to have empty space. It's actually kind of nice. And I also think that in the bedroom and any room, like, you're never done. And I think that's what I've had to learn, is that like, you don't just declutter once. I'm like, oh, I decluttered, like I'm done. Like, it's a constant like curation of our room. Like, okay, this isn't going here. This isn't going here. Cause you know, the point isn't to not live in the bedroom. We do live in there. We bring our medicine in there. I might bring, you know, my son's toys in there, but these are things that don't live in this room. So then they go back to where they go. And whether that's daily or weekly, at some point, getting back to that reset of getting back to where everything that's in this room is what is supposed to be in here, and not letting stuff accumulate in there that doesn't belong in there. So just knowing that it's not, oh, I decluttered and I'm done. It's a constant process of like getting back to the baseline.
Yeah. And I think also with the idea of you're never done, also you're never necessarily done in kind of designing the room how you want it to be. Well, at least I feel like I'm not. I feel like it's always going to be a process because I feel like I'm always going to be saving for something. There's this other really cool mirror that I want that's $400. And I'm like, okay, well, it's going to take me a while to get that. And so it's like little pieces that you're adding over time, but I really love them. And that's the thing. I think that don't just go to the store and buy a bunch of things because, oh, this looks really good. This is, it fits my Pinterest mood board. I'm really going to like this because I think, I don't know. I feel like it's a generalization to say it, but I feel like for me, I can do things like that, or I have done things like that in the past, and then I'm disappointed, and it's like, oh, I should have just held off until I really got the thing I loved and wanted to put there.
Yeah, I mean, and like, I like to say, like, none of this is permanent.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not like you're going to arrange your room and then say, okay, well, I bought this, you know, bin, so I'm stuck with this bin for 20 years. Like, no, if it doesn't, if you use it for a while, it doesn't work anymore, you don't need it anymore. Mm-hmm. A big example of that is we used to have a huge bassinet in our room because our son was a baby. Mm-hmm. And so our room was like, we had diapers and wipes, and like a bottle warmer. We had all these things in our room. Mm-hmm. Once he grew out of that, like one day I looked and I said, why do we still have that bassinet in here? He hasn't slept in that in 2 weeks, you know? And it's like just constantly adjusting the room to fit your life and say, okay, you know, maybe I can't have something really expensive in my room right now that's within reach of a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
But eventually I'll be able to like put that stuff back out, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that just knowing that the decisions that you make now are not necessarily permanent. Mm-hmm. You can always change it later on. One thing that we've done that might not be, it may not be like popular with other people. Our room has a theme. Mm-hmm. My husband loves like beaches and like going to the islands or whatever. Mm-hmm. One time we went to Myrtle Beach and we stayed in a beach house and it was beautiful. My husband loved it. So we tried to like recreate the bedroom there when we moved into our new house. Mm-hmm. And it sounds kind of silly, but it actually helped me not go overboard with like all the things because it has to fit like the theme, like the beach theme. So like, I can't just like, oh, I love this random pink vase. Like, no, it doesn't fit our beach theme. So that's helped me kind of like keep myself from buying all this random decor is having that theme in our room. And he loves it. And that's another thing. If you're married, you kind of have to go with what your husband wants to do too. Some of my friends, like their husband has a huge gun safe in the bedroom. Like you have to work around that. You know, it's not like, you can't just say, well, this is what I want. It's like what both of you want. I would love a pink and stainless steel kitchen, but my husband would never go for that.
So I
think working too with your spouse and making sure that they also, you know, like the room and they want to help make it, keep it like declutter because their room too.
If you're planning to cut back on alcohol this dry January, Recess Zero Proof Craft Mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. Recess has meticulously crafted familiar favorites such as Lime Margarita and Grapefruit Paloma, allowing you to savor the flavors and experience of these cocktails without the alcohol content. Throughout January, my listeners can take advantage of a special offer and get 15% off the Recess Mocktail Sampler Pack at takearecess.com/minimalist. Every can of Recess boasts a lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients and a calorie count of 25 or less. It's a guilt-free option for winding down during dry January. Again, whether it's the end of a demanding day, a dinner gathering, or simply a moment to unwind, these mocktails are the perfect choice. You won't miss the alcohol, and you certainly won't miss dealing with a hangover. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/minimalist so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you more about mylifeinabook.com. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you choose to ask. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. One of the challenges I face with being a minimalist is wanting to be as intentional as possible about the things that I am buying. I do understand that I live in a world where I can't completely avoid purchases. There are birthdays, there are holidays, there are the celebrations. But if I can be more intentional about gift giving, it's so important to me. I've had the experience to gift one to my mom, and being able to gift that to her seemed more significant than something that wasn't as sentimental to her. So if this sounds like a gift that you'd be interested in giving, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST for 10% off today. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. I'm so happy to partner with ByHeart because their goal is to create a future where all parents feel amazing about feeding their baby, no matter how they do it. Their mission is simple: make the best infant formula in the world. Let me tell you a little bit more. ByHeart's patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk by including the two most abundant proteins in breast milk, plus whole and partially broken down proteins for a nutritious blend that's gentle on tummies. ByHeart ran a clinical trial where they compared their formula to a leading infant formula, improved benefits like less spit up, easier digestion, and so much more. ByHeart is leading the ways in a lot of ways. They're the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. It's the only new infant formula brand to add a comparison to breast milk in their clinical trial. And ByHeart is the first infant formula company to receive Clean Label Project's Purity Award. So are you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code MINIMALIST for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
So what would you say are things that keep us stuck? We mentioned one with the spouses, possibly. It might not keep us like long-term stuck, but it's definitely something we're going to have to work through. But what are there other things that maybe you've heard people say? What do you think?
I think one of the things that can keep people stuck is not knowing how to utilize the space, because it's easy to feel like I don't have enough space. Mm-hmm. And I know that I felt like that. Like, I'm like, well, I have, my room isn't clean because I don't have enough space. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to just be realistic about the space, mm-hmm. and utilize the space properly. Yeah. And that's what I was saying earlier about making sure if you can get things that serve like two purposes. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I love dressers. I know people don't like dressers. Like, I've learned that, like, on Instagram, people are like, I don't have a dresser in my room. We love our dresser because that's where we can put stuff. Like, we have clothes in there, and mm-hmm. like, and they keep the top cleared off. The nightstand, same thing. There's like drawers on the nightstand. I mean, doors, mm-hmm. and shelves in the nightstand. And I think having those multi-use things, mm-hmm. even our bed, mm-hmm. has two drawers on the end of it. Mm-hmm. So for a while, I was in a throw pillow phase. And when I thought I was going to like have this great decorated throw pillow bed every day. And so we put the throw pillows in the drawer at the bottom of the bed. Mm-hmm. So I think that just working with the space that you have and then saying, you know, I don't have space for all this stuff. I have to get rid of some of it. And that's just, it's not that it's not a great item. It's not that you don't, you know, like it or whatever, but it's just, you don't have room for it. And I think you decide what do you have room for, and that, and anything that doesn't fit, you just have to get rid of or relocate in your house somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So that's something I think that is major and keep people stuck, is not feeling they have enough space and not utilizing the space they have properly.
Yeah. I kind of like that you shared that you went through a throw pillow phase, because mm-hmm. do you still have those throw pillows, by the way?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Because, well, so when I think of minimalism, I think of not having a bunch of extra clutter, but I still think that things can be, look nice. And I still like pretty things. And I still like the idea of having like a decorative bed, and maybe not having like a soda can on the nightstand.
Yeah.
You know, that to me, getting rid of the soda can is like the minimalist aspect. But I think sometimes people think of minimalist as the bed on the floor, mm-hmm. with, you know, one pillow, you know, white sheet, white blanket, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, minimalism is more minimizing mm-hmm. the amount of stuff I have, but mm-hmm. still having like the pretty, like almost like a hotel aesthetic. I love hotels, and I think having like the nice decorative pillow. So for a while, I legitimately was committed to making the bed and putting up. We had like all these pillows, mm-hmm. and so I put them all and arranged them all nicely. Once I had a baby, it just got to be too much. So
yeah.
I put the pillows in the drawer in front of my bed, and that's where they kind of stay. Mm-hmm. But I'm not getting rid of them because I still want that. So I think once he's more, my son is more like less work, mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to decorating our bed every day. I still do it on occasion. Like, I'll do it like on the weekend or something like that. I'll decorate our bed all up. Cause we still have the same comforter. I just mm-hmm. don't always do all the pillows, but I think it's okay to have those quote unquote extra things, mm-hmm. As long as you have a place for them mm-hmm. and you like them and you know, I think that's the thing, is having a place for it. And the place for it is on my bed. And when they're not on my bed, they're in the drawer. So, you know, I feel like that still fits in with a minimalist aesthetic.
Yeah. Just don't do it because the marketers have told you this looks nice. Like, this is what you should have, because I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about just a general rule, because I think that that is why we often fall into needing to have everything so either Instagram, Pinterest perfect, or just mm-hmm. like we want to impress whomever is coming over with our houses. Like, hey, this is what it looks like on this blog. So this is what I need my house to look like. When you're right, I don't even want all these things here. So
yeah,
I like that. I was going to ask you, my next question for you is, what have you done, or what do you do with the items that you purge? So I was like, I wonder if she's purged those pillows, but.
I used to just do Goodwill, because I thought it was just easier to mm-hmm. pack up the car and take it somewhere. But Facebook Marketplace, I've kind of gotten into Facebook Marketplace a lot lately, because it is nice to kind of get some money back for some of the stuff that you bought. Mm-hmm. Also, like friends, if they are wanting something, I'm like, oh, hey, I have that. And Buy Nothing groups on Facebook.
Yeah.
We used to have a lot of sets of sheets and comforters, like a lot.
Okay.
And it got to the point where I felt like we were just washing the sheets during the day and then putting them back on our bed at night and mm-hmm. not changing them out all the time like I thought we would. And mm-hmm. We change them out, and we just put the same sheets back on. Every now and then we'll put like a different set, but we didn't need 6 different sheet sets. Like, that was one of the things that we decided to declutter, was a lot of our sheet sets and comforters.
Yeah.
And we would have blankets for in case we ever like went camping. We've been camping one time our entire marriage. We have camped out on the back porch, but you know, like, you have these things for this lifestyle that you feel like you might do one day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, this is taking up space in my actual life. Mm-hmm. So let's get rid of at least some of these things mm-hmm. and not keep things for the person that we hope to be one day, or mm-hmm. the person that we used to be a while ago. So I think what I do when I purge, I always, just do like Goodwill, Facebook Marketplace, friends, or Buy Nothing groups on Facebook. Salvation Army, there's so many different organizations. I think you can get bogged down like, what should I do with all this stuff? Mm-hmm. And like, getting out of your house is step one. We even had a garage sale over the summer, and I will not do that again.
Yeah.
So that was so much work. It was just not worth it.
Yeah. No, I totally hear you. And with maybe the furniture that you're purging in your bedroom, that is like more of a big ticket, big moneymaker item. Mm-hmm. So you probably could, it probably would be worth selling on Facebook Marketplace as opposed to donating it, unless like you just want to donate it. But yeah, so that's the only thing I was going to say in the bedroom, as opposed to like a bathroom or a kitchen or something. So what have you experienced in decluttering your bedroom? Like, maybe the best thing of doing that.
I think our bedroom is more of an oasis now. And I just like that. I like that even when sometimes our kitchen is a mess, the playroom is a disaster, I know the bedroom is clean. That's mm-hmm. been the easiest thing for me to keep decluttering and maintaining, because mm-hmm. it is so easy to say what goes in this space. And it's like, you know, and I think my husband, he's actually very neat. So I'm fortunate in that he's neat, and I'm the one that was not as neat as him. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's nice for him and for me that we go in our room at the end of the night, and no matter what chaos I've left, like, or my son has left somewhere else, our bedroom is like that oasis. And I think it sets a good example for our son, because mm-hmm. I want him to see mom and dad's bedroom is clean. So I'm not holding him to some impossible standard when he gets older of keeping his room clean and decluttered. So, and that's another thing, a reason why I like to declutter his room mm-hmm. is because I don't want to bury him under a mountain of stuff. Cause I feel like it's been a process for me to stop accumulating, stop buying things, and just even get in the mindset of decluttering and minimizing. Mm-hmm. And if I can help him not even need to overcome those hurdles, mm-hmm. then I think that I will have helped him as a parent. And you can't, you know, your kids kind of do their own thing, but mm-hmm. I think that not burying him under a mountain of stuff is mm-hmm. like a goal of mine. That wasn't my goal initially, but I noticed it one day because I was cleaning off his bed, and we have a Peanuts theme in his room.
Okay.
Like Charlie Brown Peanuts.
Yeah.
And we love the theme thing. So I had all like the Charlie Brown, Woodstock, Snoopy, Franklin, Lucy mm-hmm. on his bed. And there were some other stuffed animals there too. And I realized that he has the same like 7 stuffed animals on his bed that have been on there for 6 months. Uh-huh. And so when I try to take them off, he's like, where's my, you know, this bear? That's Where is so it? And funny. I'm like, I don't want him to feel he has to have all these things. And so I think, and that's like a small example, but it just is a larger example of, I don't want him to feel like he has to have all these things. I don't want him to be buried under a mountain of stuff from my doing. I want to teach him, hey, mom and dad's room is clean. Your room is clean. So hopefully I'm setting a good example.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And I was in my daughter's room earlier tonight and I was looking around, and in comparison to my 3-year-old son's, he has a smaller room, but he's also limited in what he's allowed to have in his room just because he spends a lot of time in there in the morning by himself. And I'm like, you're going to destroy something. So you can have blocks in your train and this, and that's it. But his room is so easy to pick up, and he actually plays in there. He'll wake up at 6 and I don't get him out of there until 7. And he'll play for an hour until I come and get him. And he's just having a grand old time. I'm telling you, he's been doing this for like over a year. He just plays in his bedroom and he's content.
Wow.
But I was in my daughter's room tonight, in contrast to that. And she just had a birthday, so she got some new toys, and we haven't kind of gone through to say like, okay, what don't you play with yet? We haven't done that. But she also now has all of her craft things in her room. And I was just looking at her room and I'm like, I asked you to clean this up 3 nights ago and you still haven't cleaned it up. She's 6. And I just told her, I'm like, you have until tomorrow afternoon before I come through with a bag. And I'm either going to toss some of the stuff or it's going to go in the basement. But then I thought to myself, you allowed her to bring all of this stuff in here. It is so much harder to clean your home when it's overflowing with things. I don't know, just another reality check for me to not want to do that to her. You're talking about not wanting to bury your child in things. I have been a minimalist in the other areas of my home, and my daughter's room is the least minimalist in all of our homes. It's the least minimized. It's the most cluttered. It's the most chaotic. I'm stressed out whenever I go in there because she just has so many little things in her room. So all that to say, I'm like, I need to help you get this organized so that you can enjoy your time in here, know what you want to play with and go to it. And so, I don't know. I just think that's interesting that you said that. And I had that realization tonight. So I think that's yet another reason that we want to keep those bedroom spaces when it comes to our kids organized, to not overwhelm them or just think that that's how they have to be.
Right. And I think right now I'm in control, because my son is 3. Yeah. So I'm in control of what's in his room. Eventually, he'll be somewhat in control. And if I've raised him to be in a room crammed with stuff, I can't act surprised when he's 15 years old and like is buried under stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, not to say that he won't have a different personality that likes a ton of stuff. I don't know. His dad is not like that. So, but yeah, I'm just trying to help set a good example and hopefully that persists throughout his life.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that we can help them curate it as best as we can. And within that, it's, I think, keeping just fewer things. I really do. Going back to that tonight, that realization, it's just like fewer things makes it so much easier to navigate. So
definitely.
Well, do you have anything else that you want to share?
I did want to talk a little bit about, we touched on Facebook Marketplace a little bit. I want to talk about the money thing. Sometimes I talk to people who want to declutter and they're like, well, I spent money on this and I don't want to get rid of it. And that was a big thing for me. I mean, I feel like wasting money is really hard for a lot of people. And I am also one of those people. And I think that what has helped me is a few things that I've read and heard from other people is like, number one, the money is already spent. So whether you keep this item or not, like you don't get the money back either way. Now, if you get rid of something and have to buy it right away, then yes, that is a waste of money. But overall, the money's already spent, so it doesn't matter. And also, if you have a room that is so full of stuff that you can't use it, you're spending thousands of dollars over the course of a decade in order to store stuff that's worth so little that it's not worth selling. So it's like, when you think about wasting money, the money isn't wasted on this one little item. The money is wasted on the room that you're not using. So to its full capacity. And like in 20 bucks, you know, it's 40 bucks here. I mean, it's not a lot of money, and it's, you know, versus the thousands of dollars of like free time that you get from like getting rid of stuff. So I think that sometimes people get stuck on not wanting to waste the money. And I'm like, your house is not a trash can. Your bedroom's not a trash can. Like, you know, your room isn't a storage facility. It's like somewhere that you live. And that's why I always say the best way is to stop buying stuff. And maybe sometimes for me, getting rid of stuff does help me, because then I'm like, oh, I wasted so much money on this, didn't even use it, now I'm getting rid of it. So next time I'm going to think twice before I buy something else. So I think that that might be helpful to some people who are thinking, I want to get rid of stuff, but I don't want to waste the money, that the money is already wasted. And the goal is to not waste more money or time unnecessarily. So
yeah, or energy, like mental energy, thinking about it. Yeah,
right. All of that that goes into it is like, and like buying stuff because you thought you had something and then you couldn't find it, so you buy it again, then you find it, now you have two. We have three pair of kitchen scissors. This isn't about kitchens, but we have three pair of kitchen scissors because for a while I never could find them. Mm. So finally I'm like, put the kitchen scissors in this drawer and that's where they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that that's, you know, part of the decluttering thing is just being on top of your life. And I think in your bedroom is an important thing too. You know, I think that being realistic about who you are and not comparing yourself to other people. And, you know, if you have a TV, like we have a TV in our room, I know some people don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but that's our life. You know, mm-hmm. I think that just not getting so stuck in like, well, this person has, you know, this in their room. Mm-hmm. And I think you can be inspired mm-hmm. without feeling like you're trying to get to something unattainable because that person's lifestyle just isn't yours. Mm-hmm. And so being inspired is different than comparing and trying to chase an unattainable outcome.
Yeah. And also, this is kind of just silly, but no one sees your bedroom. And I know some people like to give tours of their home, but everyone's going to look so different in what they have in their spaces. And it's like, you don't need my house. It's not perfect. Okay. Shocker. I don't know if I should even say this. I don't even sleep in my bedroom. My baby, who is one, has been sleeping in our bedroom in his crib. He has his whole master suite to himself. And my husband and I sleep on our couch, and we have been for 10 months. So yeah, I don't even sleep in there. And that's so embarrassing. I can't believe I just admitted that. Yeah, we have it. It's a long story. It works for our lifestyle right now. My mom critiques me all the time for it. And people probably think that's insane. But in my bedroom right now, there's a bed, there's a crib for Benjamin, and there's a desk that I don't have a chair to. So all that to say, my space doesn't look like everyone else's, but this works for our life. I'm super content, and it is what it is. So yeah, I guess that's just kind of like one of the ending things I'd want to say in regards to bedrooms specifically. No one sees it. You do you in your bedroom. Keep it minimal because it does cause less anxiety, less stress. You don't want to be stressed out when you're going to bed at night. I just think you got to keep perspective. So
yeah, I mean, I don't think that's weird. I mean, like, I think everyone is so different. Like our son, he slept in a bassinet for a while, and then we put a pack and play in there.
Yeah.
Mattress.
Uh-huh.
And so he was in our room so he was like 18 months. And for some people, I never let him in our bed because I was afraid of that. But and some people, their kids sleep in their room. Uh-huh. You know, like that's their room. So I don't think, I mean, I think everyone is so different. Mm-hmm. And I think that is that I think people need to see more real life and mm-hmm. less perfectly curated everything. Most people can relate to what you're saying, is what I'm saying. Most people can relate to that. People have all different types of sleeping arrangements and bedroom arrangements. I think what we see often is like what's supposed to be like perfect when mm-hmm. it's like, that's not perfect for my family. Mm-hmm. You know, so
everyone's gonna have the thing that works for them. So
and people, I read a book called The Naked House, and the lady said that she has two mattresses in her room. They're both on the floor. Mm-hmm. And like all, I think four of her kids, like they all sleep in there. Like
whoa.
They call it the mattress room.
Yeah.
And there's like two big mattresses on the floor, and like everyone's in there. And, you know, and again, like to me, I'm like, well, that's interesting. But I think that everyone does their own, and I think like you said, no one sees your bedroom.
Yeah.
We did a pack and play in our room for a year and a half, and like,
yeah,
you know, no one sees it.
No.
But, you get the idea that everyone's living a certain way, and people live all kind of ways, you know. Mm-hmm. So
this was really great. I'd love for you to tell listeners where they can connect with you online.
So you can find me at Alisa Henry TV on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the things. I also have a blog. It's called alisahenry.com. I don't really blog there very much, but you can still find me there. And my son has the Instagram also. It's called Toddler Around Town.
Oh.
And it's us like just going places around Columbus and having fun.
Cool. That's great. I'm going to have to follow that. Great. Well, as we wrap things up here, I'm going to ask you the two questions that I ask every guest. And the first one is, what is something that you're simplifying right now, aka what is your minimalist moment of the week?
Right now I'm simplifying baby stuff. We would like to have another kid, but it just hasn't happened yet. And I'm not going to continue to keep tons of stuff forever and just in hopes of having a kid. So we are getting rid of a lot of baby stuff right now to bless an existing kid.
Yeah, that is tough. The whole timeline of when and if and all of that. Yeah, it's hard to know what to hold on to and what to get rid of. So.
And a lot of stuff doesn't store well. That's what I'm learning. Like a lot of like the clothes, they get yellow. I mean, it's like, I'd rather existing kid have this stuff. We're keeping some of the big stuff, but a lot of it we're just getting rid of.
Yeah, for sure. My last question for you is, what is something that you can't stop talking about?
For me, I can't stop talking about goal setting. I'm doing a lot right now. Like when things feel out of control, I try to set a goal that I can really focus in on. Like right now I'm trying to read a certain amount of books, and so that's something that I can control. And so I really think that that helps in what feels like a chaotic time in our world, the things that you can control. And I think goal setting helps, and then I feel accomplished if I reach that goal. So that's a big thing right now.
Yeah, I just saw that you read 88 books so far this year.
I'm going towards 100 books. So I'm not, I finished 92. I haven't posted them all yet, but I'm like, people don't care. But
no, I love reading.
So I'm trying to post them in batches. But I'm like, I read this book today and that book today. But yeah, I'm trying to read, my goal is to read 100 books this year, which is, I normally read like 5 books a year. So this is a huge goal. But yeah, that's what I'm doing. So I think goal setting helps, because then I can say, okay, I'm going to try to read these 3 books in the next 2 weeks. And then when I do that, no matter what else is happening in the world or in my life, I'm like, hey, I read these books. Check.
For sure.
So yeah, it helps to feel in control.
Well, it's also nice. Like, books are a really great escape. So
very good escape. Yes. Yeah. I've escaped a lot. And I learn a lot from books. I read minimalism books. I read personal finance books, Christian living, and a lot of fiction books. I just read a lot. It's nice. It's a nice escape. So.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being the expert on bedrooms. I appreciate, I know we did this really quickly, but I so appreciate you making time for it and coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I love Minimalist Moms podcast. I've learned so much from you, and I'm so excited that we live in the same town.
I know.
Get together.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, you have a 3-year-old. I have a 3-year-old. I think we're going to need to do like a play date or something. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
What did you think of this interview? If it prompted you to declutter your bedroom, I would love to see it. Tag the Minimalist Mamas podcast and I'll share it with our Instagram community. I invite you to keep the conversation going at minimalistmomspodcast.com. There you'll find links to the Facebook page, Instagram account, and where you can find me all around the web. Join me back here next week as we continue our series on decluttering the home room by room. Next week, we'll finish out the series with the living room. Thank you for joining up on this journey. I wish you a lovely week as you think more and do with less.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. Tecovas is a terrific boot brand, and they're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage boot making. They've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality that you find in a great pair of cowboy boots, but they've innovated on comfort, style, and service. I've said this before, but as someone who tries to pursue a minimalist lifestyle, I highly value quality over quantity, especially when it comes to my clothes and my shoes. And I'm telling you, you can't find a higher quality boot than Tecovas. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.